Well, good morning, Radiant Life Church. This morning I'm going to be talking about freedom in the spirit, as Pastor Chris said. And I just want to say thank you to Pastors Chris and Rachel, who will be back with us next week. I'm excited for them. They've had some rest and relaxation. I'm excited for them to be back to join us. But I'm so grateful to be here to share this message. Growing up in the church for a long time, I'm standing here at this pulpit where so many people that I have admired have gone before me, Pastors Dave and Kay and Dennis and Susie, and now Chris and Rachel and even others. And I'm just so excited to share with you a message God's put on my heart. And today I'm talking about freedom and what it looks like through the Holy Spirit. If you have your Bibles, turn to me to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to be looking at that in just a minute. Many of you may not know, or many of you do, that I served on active duty in the United States Army for over 7 years, I guess back in my younger days. I know some of you are veterans out there as well, and thank you for your service. I deployed to Iraq as an infantry platoon leader. I have fought for freedom that this country offers, and for people in Iraq could have freedom as well. I'm currently working even to become a chaplain in the United States Army, so I can minister to our troops as they provide freedom to people in this country, that they can also have spiritual freedom as well. So when I think about freedom, I think about a few things. I think about our nation's founding. I think about the Declaration of Independence and how it was so that we could have the rights to pursue life, liberty, and happiness. I think about the Statue of Liberty that stands for freedom and liberty, that people all around the world can come to our country and experience freedom and opportunity. And we even have so many first and second generation people that have come from all around the world, even within our church. You know, Independence Day is coming up, as I just even mentioned. And today is actually even a holiday. It's a much lesser known one, but it's actually Flag Day today. Because on this date in 1777, the United States flag was adopted. We recently celebrated Memorial Day, where people have given their lives for our country and for freedom. Maybe that's not what you think of when you think of freedom. Maybe you think freedom, maybe I thought this way when I was a teenager, and my parents aren't here this morning, so I can say this, I guess. But maybe freedom for me when I was a teenager was like, I can't wait to get out of here. I can't wait to be on my own, to be independent. I can't wait to do whatever I want to do. No one can tell me otherwise. Maybe that's what you think freedom is. I also think it would be not right if I did not mention that there are even some, maybe even some here today, who don't necessarily think of freedom as the same way as that. You know, as great as the ideals of our Constitution and our country are, they did fall short because it wasn't for 100 years after our nation's founding before black people had the right to vote. It was 50 years after that, even, when women were given the right to vote. As great as our country is and the ideals that we have, it fell short. And there's a large portion of our society today that feels they do not have the same freedoms as the rest of us, that they've been discriminated against for a long time. And me, as a person who's white, you know, I have my perspective of freedom, but I am personally seeking to understand other people's experiences as well, because I recognize that they maybe do not have the same freedoms, the same experiences that I've had. For many of us today, we do not think about the fact that we have the freedom to walk down the street without fear of hostility. Maybe we don't think about that we have the freedom to purchase a home or live wherever we want without people not welcoming us into the community. We don't think about the freedom that we have come to expect for our justice system and equality, education and healthcare to be free from racism. We must stand beside some of our brothers and sisters to fight for that freedom, but we must do something. But to this morning, I'm not talking about political freedom, although political freedom is very important and is what our country was founded on. And we absolutely, as Christians, need to participate in our political system to make it better. We need to vote. We need to do better. This morning, I'm talking about biblical freedom and what that looks like by the grace of God, through the work that Jesus Christ has done on the cross, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the opportunity to be free in the Spirit, regardless of, and sometimes even in spite of, whatever political freedoms we may or may not have. If you'll look with me in Galatians chapter 5, let's see how Paul discusses freedom. I would encourage you, as we always do, to get into the Word yourself, to read this entire chapter, to read this entire book of Galatians, and see what God would speak to you through His Word. We're going to be looking this morning at verses 13 and 16 of chapter 5. It says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit." Would you bow your heads and pray with me this morning? Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the freedom that you have given to me. I thank you that we have the freedom to gather and worship you together in this place. And I pray that you just speak through me straight to the hearts of your people, that we may all experience true freedom in you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul says that we are called to freedom. We are called to be free. And to be free, you have to be free from something. And Paul says we have to be free from our flesh. Sin so desperately tries to pull us back into bondage, and we must be free from it. That's what Paul means when he talks about his flesh. That word simply just means our selfish nature and how we only think about ourselves, how we get so easily a self-centered attitude, and that causes us to commit so many other sins. We think of ourselves first. We think that we must win, that I must get ahead, that it's about what I want in life. It's my way or the highway. We get so focused on our own opinions and preferences that we lose sight of anything else, let alone the people around us. That's what walking in the flesh is. Another translation of this passage says, "Make sure that you don't use this freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want to do and destroy your freedom." And even another translation says, "Do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence." This is what walking in the flesh means. And we must put aside our selfish nature. Because you see, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 that we were created in the image of God. I was created in the image of God. You were created in the image of God. We all were created in the image of God. And because of that, especially because of the work that Jesus has done, we are called to reflect God's image to the people around us. And that's what the process of sanctification is. It is just the process where we reflect more and more of Jesus in our lives. That as I stand here, you don't see me, you don't see Joe Higgins, you see Jesus and the actions that come out of me. But we fall short. I fall short, you fall short, and we distort that view of Jesus. You see, sanctification, the word that I used, is a religious sounding word, but it just simply means being holy, like Jesus is holy. It's from the exact same Greek word, holiness and sanctification. And so we must be free from our flesh so we can reflect more and more of Jesus. The first verse of this chapter that I'm reading from today, Galatians 5:1, says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, so that you do not go back to the yoke of slavery." That's the work of the flesh that's trying to pull us back. That even as Christians, sin is always pulling us, trying to pull us back into bondage. And we must be free from that. Let's look at a list that Paul gives of what it means to be walking in our flesh, beginning in verse 19. He says, "Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." You know, Paul said that they're obvious, and some of them are obvious. I think we can agree with that, but there are also some that are a little more hidden. Things like discord, anger, factions, you know, they're internal, and it's what we do. And I love that at this end of this list of about 15 things that Paul gives us, that he says, and things like these, because you see, the list is never ending in the ways that our sinful nature will try to pull us back into flesh and take us back into bondage of sin. Sometimes we even use things like, oh, well, that's just my personality, or that's just how I am. Oh, it's just my Irish temper talking here. And we cannot use predispositions, personalities, things of this nature to not confront the sin in our lives so we can reflect more and more of Jesus. You know, I mentioned that Paul talked about discord and anger and factions. And as I look at our current state in America, I see some of these things. What about you? I see lots of hatred and even racism. I see discord of opinions. What about when you look at our political system? Does anyone see factions there? I think we're politically just about as divided as we've ever been in this country. But as Christians, we're not called to divide, but we're called to reflect Christ. You know, some of you have the personality that you're a peacekeeper. You seek to avoid conflict. I know there's many of you out there like that. I would probably be the opposite. It's not that I like conflict, but I enjoy a good debate at times. And I've even at times, you know, I take the opinion that I don't even necessarily agree with just because I want a good debate. I want to talk through these things. I enjoy that. I love discourse like that. But as Christians, and there's times that we can have debate and have maybe fun if that's fun, but as Christians, we must seek to bring unity. I look at social media and how people post things, and as Christians, are we seeking to unify or are we seeking to divide and get our opinion, our perspective across? We need to bring clarity and not discord, because our God, He's a God that's not one of chaos and confusion. He's not a God of discord or inequality. He's not a God of bitterness and backbiting because of our selfish nature. And when we are walking in our flesh, that's what we're doing. What good does it do for us to win an argument if we hurt someone's feelings along the way? Or even worse, if we push them further from Christ? That's not winning an argument. That's the furthest thing from it. If we want to experience freedom, we must be free from our flesh. We cannot be in bondage to the selfishness of our flesh. But you see, freedom is not just about being free from something. We must be free to actually do something with our freedom. What good is freedom if we're free from bondage to sin, but we don't do anything with it? And that's why the next thing that I see as I look at this passage is that freedom walks in the Spirit. Freedom walks in the Spirit. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit? This simply means that we give control of our will, our emotions, our actions, our lives over to Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, I said it simply means that. I did not say it is simple to do. Because you see, it's just a sanctification and being free from sin. It is a constant process that we must engage in to walk in the Spirit. This chapter in Galatians, further on, Paul gives us an idea of what it means to walk in the Spirit. He calls it fruit of the Spirit. And I love the analogy of fruit, and it's all throughout Scripture, because just as a tree that is healthy will produce good fruit, so as Christians, if we are healthy, we will produce fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Let's look at what Paul says in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. He says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience or forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Are you walking in freedom as a Christian? Because if you are, these fruits should be displayed in your life. You know, sometimes the more I've studied about the fruit of the Spirit and gone into some of the Greek words and tried to understand their meaning, I realize that some of these words, our English language just does not encompass the meaning good enough. Take goodness, for example. It is good to be good, goodness. But in the Greek, the real meaning is one who is big-hearted, charitable, generous. That's what goodness is. That is the fruit of the Spirit of goodness. Are you charitable? Are you big-hearted? Are you generous? Another one that I love is the word kindness. A lot of times we reduce kindness down to a kid's word, be kind to one another, and absolutely we should. But I love that in the Greek, the meaning is really of one who is adaptable to others. That I am going to go out of my way and my comfort to make someone else more comfortable. That is what kindness is. I think of hospitality, and that's what the essence of kindness is. That if someone comes over to my house, it is my job as a host to make sure that they are more comfortable than I am, even in my own house. I'm going to give them the best, most comfortable chair. I'm going to make sure they have a drink, a snack or food, something to eat. And it's going to be at the expense of my comfort because I'm going to be serving them. That is what kindness is. Is this evident in your life? I think about the current climate in America, and I think we could use more kindness. Putting other people's opinions, preferences above our own. Not seeking to just get our way. You know, in the past few weeks since the killing of George Floyd, you know, I have personally tried to engage more and talk with more of my friends, neighbors who have darker skin than I do to understand their perspective. And I did this with my next door neighbor, who is Ray. He is a retired black man, and he and his wife live there. And I've engaged with him, talked to him. I said, I want to hear about your perspective on what's going on in America right now, because your perspective is different than mine, and I need to expand my perspective. He shared with me how in his younger days he got on the bus from Delaware, Ohio, where he grew up and where we live now, took it to Washington, D.C., and marched in the civil rights movement. He talked about how when he was younger, he could only live in certain parts of the city. He couldn't attend the community pool the same way that other people do because of the color of his skin. And he talked about how America was better now than it was then, but he still talked about times that because of the color of his skin, how he gets looked at or things that are said that aren't right. And I walked away from it with just a little bit more understanding that maybe my perspective isn't the only one. And that's the start of kindness. It's taking my experiences, opinions, and perspectives, and it's giving deference to someone else and understanding more of theirs. And listening is great, but we also must do things to support them and make sure that they have the same freedoms as us. I already mentioned that I love the analogy of fruit because it's all throughout Scripture. Jesus talked about it in John chapter 15 when he talked about how to produce fruit of the Spirit. He said, "Remain in me as I also remain in you, because no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." Because we can't produce fruit of the Spirit simply because we wake up one day and say, I want to produce fruit. It is a process. Growing is a process. We must abide in the vine, Jesus said. We do that by spending time reading the Word, by spending time in prayer, by spending time gathering among a community of believers where we can engage in discussions and growing and learning more about each other and about God and how to impact our world. Fruit production happens when we are connected to the Father. We already talked about some of the selfish things and ways that prevent us from producing fruit. And John 15 talks about that there's times we must prune back branches so that more fruit can grow. And that's what it is when we get rid of our selfish flesh, is we prune it back so that the fruit of the Spirit may grow more and more. Do you need to prune anything back in your life so that fruit may grow? Do you need to spend more time abiding in God and around His people and in His Word and in prayer so that more fruit may grow? Walking in the Spirit is giving our lives over to the Spirit, and the result of this is that fruit is produced. Are you living in freedom this morning? One more thing that I see when I look at this passage is that Paul tells us how to maintain our freedom. And he tells us that it is through service that we can be free. He says in verse 13, serve one another humbly in love. And that is how we maintain our freedom and don't go back into the bondage. Because when we're focused on serving others, that bondage of sin and our selfishness can't pull us back in. We've talked about fruit of the Spirit and how it grows. And you know, what good does it do for an apple tree to produce a delicious apple if it just rots on the tree? Because that apple was meant to be consumed by someone. Who is consuming your fruit of the Spirit? Who are you serving with your fruit? We get to live fruitful lives through the power of the Spirit. And it's done through service to one another. Have you said recently to someone, how can I serve you today? Without expecting anything in return, without any other notion, but just simply, how can I serve you? Humbly and in love through Jesus. There's so many different ways to serve. Just even showing kindness to someone is serving. Here's some scriptures. There's many, but here's just a few of ways that Scripture says we can serve one another. Romans 12:10, be devoted to one another. Outdo one another in showing honor. Bear one another's burdens. In Galatians 6:2. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Ephesians 5:21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build one another up. 1 Peter 4:9-10, show hospitality to one another. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. These are just a few. There are so many ways. The list is endless in ways that we can serve people around us. Because it is by serving others that we maintain our freedom in the Spirit. This morning, as the worship team comes up and I begin to close, I want to tell you a story about a man named Eddie. After I got out of the military, my last duty station was in Colorado. My wife and I, we moved to Missouri and I had taken a job there. My wife took a job and worked at a homeless shelter there in Joplin, Missouri. And it was here that she encountered a man named Eddie. Eddie was homeless. Eddie was an addict. He was very transient. He would be in for a few days, then he'd be gone for a few weeks, then maybe come back. But every time he would come in, Ashley would show kindness and respect to him. She would ask him questions about his family, to get to know him, ask him about his experiences. She would offer to pray with him. She didn't know that she was making much of an impact. Eddie eventually was gone for a while and Ashley hadn't seen him. He was out of sight and frankly out of mind. We ended up moving back to Ohio and Ashley had forgotten about Eddie. But it was 6 years later that Ashley got a phone call from one of her friends who worked at the homeless shelter still. And Eddie had felt the need. It was so great within him that he decided he needed to write a letter to the homeless shelter and specifically to Ashley and one of her friends there. In it, he said that he had been arrested, that he had been in prison for a couple years. And it was during this time that he began to reflect on his life. He began to read his Bible. And he remembered the kindness that Ashley had shown. He went out of his way to specifically mention Ashley and then one other person, that they showed interest in him, that they cared about him, that they showed kindness to him. And because of this, Eddie accepted Jesus as his Savior. Because Ashley didn't serve and show kindness to Eddie to get anything in return, but because of the freedom that she has in Christ, she served Eddie. And then now Eddie also has freedom in Christ today because of that kindness. So this morning, as you think about your life, are there areas of your flesh that you need to prune back? Are there areas of sin that are trying to pull you back into bondage? Maybe you're here today and you have never given your heart to Christ. You've never prayed and asked God to forgive you. It just takes a simple prayer to say, Heavenly Father, will you forgive me? And if you do that this morning, I would love to talk to you after church underneath the canopy and tell you about our next steps in our Life Track class and how you can learn and grow more, how we can help develop fruit in your life. Do you need to prune back areas in your life where you walk in the flesh? Maybe this morning you do pretty good at maybe four, five, six of the fruit of the Spirit, but maybe there is one or two you can focus on and work on. And it starts by abiding in the Word, spending time in prayer, understanding the heart of our Father. This morning, are you living in freedom? You can be free from the bondage of sin. We can be free to walk in the Spirit and produce fruit in our lives. But that freedom is so that we can serve other people. Who are you going to serve this week? Who do you need to serve this week? Serve one another in love. This is how we maintain our freedom. So this morning, as you leave, just be careful what you watch. Be careful what you talk about. Savor the presence of Jesus. Maintain your freedom. Serve one another in love. God bless you this morning.